Well, hello, everyone.
Oh, all right. We're excited to be here and to just share a few things. I'm looking around. Some of you been married longer than we have. Some have been married not as long as we have. So we can all just kind of share and glean some things, you know, from the scriptures, glean some things from what God has for us. And so let's open up in prayer because this time is going to be eaten up sooner than you think. So let's pray. Lord, we do thank you so much for this time you've given us. Lord, we pray that you would just show us your heart, show us your word. And Lord, help us to just demonstrate your love for the church through our marriages. Help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, okay, please finish by 11. Oh, boy, 11:25. Yikes.
Where's your notes?
Oh, my notes. You know, my wife made sure that I had notes. Okay, here are my notes. Now, for me, I'm glad that my wife came up with these notes because I'm going to be teaching on marriage verse by verse tomorrow morning. So this right here, what we're doing, is going to be just a lot of fun. So here we go. You know, she gave me notes, and I'm looking at my phone. It's so weird. I'm old school. I still handwrite my sermons. I'm sorry. I still do. And so looking at a phone, number one, and then looking at typed words is just weird
to me.
Well,
first of all, you need some glasses on because you're
holding
it back like that.
Well, yeah, sometimes, you know. I'm still in denial that I still think I have 20/20 vision, but, you know, sometimes my family say, Dad, you want me to take the phone and go by 10 paces, you know. So, well, you know, here's my wife and I, my wife, Janice, and we've been together for 46 years, and we're going on 41 years of marriage.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, and I tell people we got married at 5, but that's another sermon. But, you know, we've been together a long time. We've seen each other grow up, you know, high school sweethearts and all that kind of stuff. So we've seen each other grow up. And for the majority of our marriage, I've been in ministry. We've been in ministry. So I'm just very thankful for this opportunity that we have before you. So I'm looking at my notes, making sure I stay on task. And we know from Genesis 2:24 that marriage is ordained by God. We all, many of us are senior pastors. We've all done marriages talking about how marriage is ordained by the Lord. And so we know that. So God loves your marriage. Mm-hmm. I'm talking to those who may be struggling right now. God loves your marriage,
yes.
And he wants your marriage to work. Mm-hmm. No matter what is going on, no matter what attack that you're going through, he loves your marriage,
mm-hmm.
And he wants it to work. And so, God, we all know God put Adam to sleep. He performed the first surgery and made Eve to be a helper to help complete him, mm-hmm. And not compete with him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Somebody needs to hear that. That was for somebody.
But
Stop competing with that man.
What you didn't say is that God created like the most beautiful creation.
Oh, well, yeah, well, that is true. That is true.
Let's just
say
it.
Yeah, he did. I give you that one.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we know Genesis 2:24. It says, mm-hmm. For this reason, a man shall, well, actually, it's Ephesians 5:31, but he is quoting from Genesis. It, mm-hmm. said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife,
yes.
And the two shall become one flesh. And I'm going to just kind of briefly give you a sneak preview of coming attraction. The word joined there, the Greek word is proskaleo, and then the Hebrew word is dabak. And so it means to be glued or cemented together. It speaks of the permanence of marriage, that marriage is supposed to be permanent.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is how God ordained it.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a oneness in marriage that we see, and many of you know already, so I'm not going to go through that. So we all going to go through our struggles in marriage. So, but we're going to take off that splitting and divorcing. We're going to take that off the table because God wants us to be joined, glued, cemented together. Mm-hmm. Your turn.
In the oneness. And so we know that in our marriage, if we're going to be transparent here, sometimes we walked in oneness and sometimes we didn't, huh? Was it because of me or because of you?
I take it from me. I make you look good.
Well, with the oneness, you know, it's because you have the two people that's on one accord. They're doing things together on one accord. And when you're doing ministry together and when you have the oneness, there's like a sweetness in doing ministry together. There's a joy in doing ministry together. There's like a wholeness in doing ministry together because you both share the same vision. And then on the flip side, when you don't have that oneness, there's a struggle and a striving in ministry. Yeah. And when that happens, like the enemy like loves that. He has like a field day with that because what it is that you have two people that aren't walking together, as Amos 3:3 says, we're not walking together unless you agree. And so with that, when you have that, you're like out of alignment with one another. Yeah. And so it's just not working real well. Just a little about us, both I keep wanting to say Pastor Tony because I feel like I'm at church, but with Tony and I, we grew up in a two-parent home. And that was just the norm for our community at that time. And so, like, my parents were married 37-plus years before they eventually got a divorce. And so, like, I was an adult. And that thing hurt me. That divorce hurt as though I was a child. You know, because I just always thought my parents would always be together. And so for me, because I was such a daddy's girl, my thought was always like, well, who's going to take care of my daddy? But who's going to take care of my dad, though? Now, my dad was 17, 18 years older than my mom. And so I always, I mean, it was just always about my daddy. I was a daddy's girl. So it was really hard when they divorced. And then, you know, you have your parents who were married, what, 60-plus years, until death do us part, literally.
Right. My mother passed away in 2020, then my dad about 2 years later. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So and even though in that longevity of marriage, as I say with my parents, like we weren't made to go to church, it was kind of different. We went to a Catholic school, you know, where you got to do mass every day. You come into mass every day. For the girls, as we were little, I have three sisters, and so we would go to the local church down the road just by ourselves. My parents didn't know what that church was teaching, but it was just a local Baptist church, and we just knew that we needed to go to church. And so for when we did this even all throughout high school, but so we saw the longevity in marriage, but we didn't necessarily see, for me anyway, we didn't see a spiritual marriage. We didn't see that.
Yeah. You know, in our community that we grew up in, going to church was what you did.
Yes.
You went to church on Sunday. You lived like the devil Monday through Saturday.
Absolutely.
But as long as you're in church on Sunday.
Yes.
And so that's what the norm was in the community that we grew up in. So that was the norm. Let's jump down to the different stages. I want to get to that because our time is going to run out quickly. The different stages from when, you know, I came to plant the church and all that kind of stuff.
Yes. With the early stages, well, one stage is an early stage. And if you're a senior pastor and a pastor's wife in particular, you know that it can be a little difficult because you two are the ones that's doing everything within the ministry because you don't have the people doing the work of the ministry. And so it gets a little difficult. I know for Tony and I, when we went to... you want me to call you Lord, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's Sarah called Abraham Lord. I mean, 1 Peter 3:1-6 is biblical. Lord Tony will go very well.
I'm not.
Okay.
I will not submit to that.
You asked my opinion.
Well,
okay.
I thought you would say something different.
All right.
But as we were church planting in Virginia, we had a dear friend to come out. And he had been in ministry before. He had done a lot of things in ministry. And so we had come out and he had saw everything that we were doing. He asked the question, are you having fun yet? And I thought, no. I'm not having fun at all. You know, you may have been having fun because you got the easy job, so to speak, that you got to get up and teach. But, you know, I felt like I was doing children's ministry. I was doing worship. I was doing the administrative part of work. Yeah. It was just, it was a lot. It was a lot. And so those are just the early, early stages of ministry. And it was just difficult. Wasn't having fun yet. And then you have the stage when, as a young mom, you know, where you have young children. Mm. And as a pastor's wife, in the beginning, you're trying to find your niche in ministry. You're trying to find out where it is that you belong in ministry. And so let me say this to you wives. Your first ministry is your husband.
Yep.
That's your very, very, very first ministry.
Somebody need to hear that.
They did.
I'm telling you. Somebody need to hear that because you thought your first ministry, because that's what you've been told, was to be over the women's ministry.
Yeah.
That's what you think.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately, I'm the pastor's wife, so I'm over the women's ministry.
Yeah.
Okay, but your first ministry is at the house.
Yes.
It's with your husband.
Yeah.
That's the first ministry. And those children, if you got any children, that's your first ministry.
Yep, they come next. The children come after the husband. I can remember telling you that, well, my children need me. You don't need me.
Mm.
How wrong was that?
Long as you said it and I didn't.
It was wrong. It was wrong. It was wrong. But the first ministry is your husband. Then within the home, everything within the home. And so a lot of you may have to work. I know I worked and still do. So it was hard. So when you have your a wife and a mother and you have a job, and so you have very little time and space and energy to do ministry. But if you do by chance do ministry, that is like the icing on the cake.
Yep.
That's the cherry on top of the whipped cream of the sundae. That's just the extra. So don't feel like you are mandated to do anything within the ministry other than serve your husband first. You know, God created us women to be the helper. So that's what we're to be.
Yeah. You know, one of the things about starting the church, I was young. Mm-hmm. We both were young. And I'm type A personality. Mm-hmm. So I was about the church. And because I was about the church like that, I wasn't the best husband at home.
No.
No, I wasn't. I wasn't the best husband at home because I was about the church, and then my kids, you know, is about, you know, training them up in the ways of God. And
you did well with that.
Well, thank you.
So,
you know, had Bible time. If you want your family altered, you need to have family altered.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so we, you know, did the thing at night, prayed with the kids before they went to school, did all that.
ABC scriptures and everything.
Taught them ABC, three sets of ABC scriptures, you know, and did my thing with that. My youngest son played sports, so I was in the backyard or in the driveway, basketball, baseball in the backyard. I did all that. But I wasn't the best husband I could have been in the home. Based upon what 1 Peter 3:7 says, it says, husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge or understanding, some translations. It says, you know, and it talks about being giving honor to her as the weaker vessel, being heirs together of the grace of life. And here's the part we skip over, that your prayers may not be hindered.
Mm.
It doesn't say that with the wife in verses 1 through 6 of 1 Peter 3. But it does say it about us that our prayers will be hindered based upon how we treat that woman God has given us and dwell with her according to understanding. That word is gnosis. It's the root of where we get gnosko.
Yes.
And it means knowledge, how you know God wired her up. So my wife is about, you know, service, you know, washing dishes or vacuuming the floor, putting the load in the. And so I didn't dwell with her well, according to knowledge, especially in those early days, because I was about the church, I was about the kids, and I was about running around doing my thing. And I wasn't the best I could have been at home.
And I didn't push you on that either.
No, no.
I didn't push you on
that. When my wife says something, I would go 100 miles per hour, but she won't say a thing. But when she says something, I had to hit the brakes because I've gone out of balance. I'm out of balance with this thing called church. And here's the problem, pastors. We began to love the church and we serve our families. And that's out of order. God told us to serve the church and love our wives. And we got it out of order because we love the church and we're about the church and we're going for it with the church. And what has happened is then the church in your wife's eyes and the kids, the church will become the mistress because you're spending more time with it than you do with them. Pastors, I've been where you are. If any of you like me, I've been there and just go. And I end up neglecting my wife, which is something the Lord never told. The church is the bride of Christ. I'm loving another man's wife when I'm called just to serve. I'm called to serve the church. And to love my wife. And I didn't do that well in the early days.
Yeah, it was just busyness. You got caught up in business.
I did.
And actually, both husband and wife can get caught up in business. And we've seen couples do that before, haven't we? And then a few years later, they're divorced. Yeah. Because they just done too much. Just way out of order. So we've seen couples that have gotten divorced. We've seen couples that have maybe been disqualified in ministry because of their busyness. And so there's a stage of busyness. There's a stage of dealing with wayward children.
Yes.
Yeah.
We've been through that.
Yeah.
Been through that. Our son, Tony Jr., he's a single dad right now. And you know, we all go through it. I mean, I wish that, you know, I raised the kids in the ways of God and they would just follow me in the ministry. I look at some pastors, that's what they had going on. Yeah. Their children just followed them in the ministry, but that doesn't happen all the time. So now they all serving the Lord. Now our kids are old now. We got 8 grandkids. Our kids are old now. And they all serving the Lord. Tony Jr., the single dad, he's the assistant director of our academy at our school. Eric, my youngest, plays on the worship team.
But they didn't start out like that.
No.
Because I think the thing is that, and I can remember, we were, Tony Jr. and I, we were like oil and water. It was like fireworks. And I just knew that at one point, I was going to throw this child out of the window because I didn't like him. He didn't like me. Prayed for him. And the thing is, we knew what we taught our children, didn't we? Like
we
raised our children in the Lord. And so to see them, sometimes they can have almost like too much Jesus because they don't know what it looks like in the world. And so they're like, well, what's going on over there?
They went out there and tasted and saw. Yeah, they did. And our kids went through that stage. Tony Jr. was the best kid any parent could ever have.
He was.
And all the way up until he was 14.
Mm-hmm.
When he was 15, he got abducted by aliens, and they took him away. And then they brought back some kid from 15 until 19.
Yeah.
And then Tony Jr. came back at 20.
Yeah. You remember his kindergarten teacher called him. He said that this child is a
tender shepherd.
Tender shepherd.
Yeah.
He's a tender shepherd. But for many years, we didn't see that tender shepherd.
A good 4 years.
Yes. But I remember holding on to that tender shepherd, even during that time when I didn't like him. I can remember when there was a little bug. This is off the story. But there was a bug that had drowned in the water. And so I remember him bringing it to me and saying, Mom, let's pray for him. He was about maybe 6, 7. Let's pray for him. And so in my head, I thought, Tony, he's gone. The bug is gone. But so, you know what? I prayed for him. And I said, well, now, Tony, you pray for him. So he prayed for him, and he began stroking the back of this little firefly. And then all of a sudden, I opened up my eyes, and his legs started wiggling. And I thought, oh my goodness, look at this tender shepherd here. So he was a tender shepherd, but that wasn't what we dealt with for the teenage
years.
Yeah.
God bless America. So for those of you who got teens, God bless you. We with you.
Yes.
We with you with that. We've been there and done that. Now, you know, there's different people throughout the scriptures that have gone through some difficulties and stuff. Did you want to say something?
Yeah, but I wanted to talk about the aging parents, the stage of when you're dealing with aging parents or dealing with the death of parents.
Yeah. And let me just say this much. For those of you that's 50 years old and you're in the decade of 50 to 60, it is a very difficult decade because your kids are grown, and then now you begin to deal with aging parents. And parents get older, and then they get sick, and then they pass on. It's a very difficult stage, and so marriage can be very strained going through that particular decade.
Yeah, you dealt with that in particular because you dealt with that during COVID.
Yeah.
You dealt with that during COVID. And then, so you're trying to navigate a church through this. And then now you're watching your mom who just deteriorated and passed away. Yeah. And then you did a funeral.
Yeah, I did a funeral.
And then so you had, about a year and a half later?
Yeah, about a year and a half. Yeah.
For
then
your
my dad. And then had to do his funeral.
Yeah.
Tough, tough decade.
It was.
So for those of you who are in that stage, so we talked about the littles, pastoring when you got the littles, and then pastoring when you got teens and aliens abduct them and bring them back. And then you got your aging, dealing with aging parents and stuff. And so that's a tough, especially for, I'm speaking tongue in cheek because I don't want to speak anything against those who really go through this. But I still have PTSD from COVID. And so that whole time of going through that COVID, navigating the church through that, and then have to navigate parents through that. So, and go through parents' death, and, you know, it's tough to deal with that and deal with ministry and deal with the marriage. So all those strains can cause a huge strain on the marriage. And then you just begin to, you know, pour yourself into the church, and she pours herself into, at this stage, into grandkids. And whether you know it or not, you're drifting.
You're drifting
apart, and you don't even realize it because it's in your busyness that it's shielding you from seeing that the marriage is drifting as well.
And in trouble, potentially.
Yeah, it is.
Let's look at some couples in the Word who maybe some incidents maybe that they've gone through caused a strain in their marriage.
Yeah, well, one of the things I couldn't wait to get to Moses and Zipporah. That's when you're unequally yoked. A lot of people don't see that. It's a weird little story told in Exodus 4, verses 24 to 26. It says that God already called Moses to go to get the people out of Egypt. But there's a couple of verses that's just weird. And it says that God met Moses and was about to kill him. And it's like, okay, what's that about? And then all of a sudden, you know, Zipporah took a knife and circumcised the boys and threw the foreskin at Moses' feet and said, "You a bloodthirsty man to me." And Moses said, "Guess what? You don't have to get out of here, but you got to go back to the house." What was that about? God had commissioned Moses to lead 3 million Jews out of Egypt. The sign of his covenant was circumcision. And Moses had not even circumcised his own boys. And God said, "You think I'm going to let you take 3 million people out to circumcise them, and you have any..." This is why the Bible says, if a man can't take care of his own house, how can he take care of the house of God? And God said, "Dude, I'm about to take you out." And on top of that, Zipporah saw that and circumcised them, the boy, through the foreskin at his feet. It goes to show that Moses had a wife that was not in tune with the covenant of Israel.
Yes.
Because if she was in tune with the covenant of Israel, she would have allowed Moses to circumcise the boys. Mm-hmm. But she didn't. You ain't cutting on my boys. Mm. And Moses said, oh, yes, I am. She said, oh, no, you're not. Well, let's go to Egypt. Mm. And finally, God met him and said, dude. And scholars believe that it was some kind of sickness that Moses couldn't move. And she threw the foreskin at his feet, and Moses said, oh, you're going to mess this thing up with me and God in Egypt. Get to the house. And that is the very thing when you're unequally yoked with someone who don't understand the ways of your God. Mm-hmm. And that's what was happening with Moses. And so you may have some folks that serving in ministry that they're serving, but their spouse is kind of not into it. Yeah. Let me tell you, don't put them in positions. They haven't taken care of the house yet.
Yeah.
If a man doesn't take care of his own house, how can he take care of the house of God? It's a rhetorical question, meaning that he can't. Do not put them in ministry if their wife, their spouse, is not on board with what's going on. It will be disastrous. I'm telling you. So, you have anything?
Yeah. You got anybody else you want to talk about?
Well, of course I do, but I just want to give you a moment.
What?
You know, to do your thing. I got a whole bunch of folks.
Well, go ahead.
You don't have to tell me to speak.
Well, no.
Did you want to say something?
I'll go after you.
Okay. Now, who was in cahoots with one another in ministry is Priscilla and Aquila. Mm-hmm. And it's funny how her name is always mentioned first. Mm. What's that?
You don't
about?
Think she was the?
No, I don't think so.
Whatever.
No. That's another sermon. but they did. They did serve the Lord together in ministry. They even took the great Apollos, took him aside and said, "Hey, bro, you know, you only know that John the Baptist baptism. Let me teach you a more accurate way." And they squared him away, Aquila and Priscilla. Had a church in their house.
Yeah.
So they did ministry together. There's nothing like doing ministry together.
Yeah.
Or so they are the opposite of what we saw with Moses and Zipporah.
Yeah.
He sent Zipporah to the house.
Yeah.
Later on, Jethro said, "Hey, bro, here's your wife and your kids. They ain't staying with me no more. You take them." And then he brought, Jethro brought them back to Moses, but Moses had to send her to the house because she was going to hinder what God was calling them to do.
Well, or even Mary and Joseph, like they got it right eventually. And we know that with Joseph, he wasn't necessarily into this whole, "Oh, Joseph, look, I got pregnant by the Holy Spirit." He wasn't feeling all that. However,
pregnant by who?
The Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Yeah. I'm with child. And he wasn't necessarily feeling that. But, not until that angel of the Lord came to him. And he got squared away. And, the rest is history. It's a great history.
Okay. Well, let's go down to the safeguards of
yes,
marriage.
Yes.
The safeguards. One of the safeguards that we were talking about in the hotel room is a key one. And that comes from the Song of Solomon 2:15 for you note takers. And it says, "Keep the little foxes out the vineyard." And you can use that as a play on words. Keep the fox, that little honey, out the ministry, out of your marriage. This is why for me, and I'm thankful for the people God has brought.
So the safeguard is to not counsel the opposite sex.
I was just about to go there. I don't fool with counseling the opposite sex. You ladies, God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We thank God for you. But I ain't counseling you no more. Done with you.
Yeah.
Done with counseling. So we got gifted ladies at our church so the ladies can counsel the ladies.
Absolutely.
And the men can counsel the men. Then you may say whatever you want to say about that, but it's a safeguard for us. I would counsel a couple, of course. Mm-hmm. But I ain't doing that one-on-one women stuff, crying and carrying on. Oh, come here, let me. No. No. That is done. Those years, back in the early days, I wanted to help everybody. And you know, no. Not doing that anymore. Well, we got gifted ladies that can do that.
And a lot of times that the whomever it is you're counseling, that whether it's me counseling a young man or you counseling a young woman, but they can develop a dependence upon, you know, the pastor or the pastor's wife or whatever. And so then it can create a whole different issue.
Yeah, because they're looking at me like, oh, you know, I wish my husband knew the word. And I would. The devil is a liar. Get on.
No, get on.
Go on back to that man. Go on. We're praying for y'all.
Yes.
You don't depend on me. So we got gifted ladies that can do
and
just
that.
Yeah.
Another safeguard is to pray. Pray, and pray some more. Pray for one another. I know Pastor Tony prays for me daily as he's in his word. I pray for him. Whenever he goes speaking somewhere, like before we get out of the car, he's like, okay, go ahead and pray.
Yeah, she prays for me.
So anytime, like you bow your head.
Oh, I bow my head. Yeah. You know, when she prays for me, I know it's going to be a great service. Yeah. Great service. So I depend on her to pray for me as I'm about to go minister around the country. She does a tremendous job, and I depend on those prayers.
Another safeguard is that if you're having issues in your marriage, to not be discerning with who you share information with. And you don't want to share information with women in the church in particular, because you know why? Not because you need to keep your pastor so elevated, but because they see him as their pastor. So we got to be careful with information that we share with others.
Don't share this stuff around your kids.
No.
They will become jaded about the ministry. Mm-hmm. When you have forgiven and you made up with that person, your kids are still looking at them sideways like this. And so they will become jaded with church and church people. Mm-hmm. So don't go sharing that stuff around kids. Be very discerning when you're doing that, because, you know, I've seen it. Where the kids, they take it the hardest.
Yeah. And don't be afraid to say, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
This acknowledges humanness and a humility.
Yeah. You know, I'm dating myself. For those of you who are in here, I'm looking at you. You guys are my age and older, so you'll get it. You know, you remember on Happy Days, Fonzie couldn't say he was sorry. You know, so that's hard for, especially for us men, to say we're sorry, and it's something that will go a long way. And let me just say this: I apologize. That's not an apology. I am sorry. I apologize. I can easily hide behind that. You know, and my wife, are you sorry? I apologize. That's not an apology. That's not. I'm sorry. And so that was always, for those who are 40 and under, you don't know Happy Days, Google it. And, you know, go on YouTube, you'll see an episode. But that is something that is big to say, I'm sorry, especially for us as men, because we're going to do things at home, or we'll do things at church, and that will cause an offense to our wives. And we have to be a bigger man. Mm-hmm. To say that we are sorry.
We do. You know, here's the thing with you. I know that you remember you shared earlier about how you weren't necessarily the best husband because you were so busy doing the stuff outside of the ministry. But you know what? You have stepped up your game.
Well, see, I didn't say let another man praise you, not your own mouth. A stranger, not your own lips. That's what Proverbs 27:2 said. I didn't say that.
Yes.
She did.
Yes, because he's cleaning up, he's washing dishes. I hear the vacuum cleaner and everything going on downstairs.
Well, God bless you for saying that. Yes. I appreciate that.
Yes.
But look, it's 40 plus years later that I finally get it.
Well,
I'm a little slow learner. I'm a slow learner. But I know the Lord clearly said that you're supposed to love her unconditionally. But you're supposed to love her sacrificially. That's tomorrow morning's message. But I have not. I was not doing that for many years. The older I got, back hurting, stuff, knees hurt. I just didn't feel like it. And the Lord said, you have to serve her. And serve her in a way that she needs to be served. And so I pray, Lord, help me to serve her as Jesus teaches me to be a servant. And so I know that if I did those dishes, if I cleaned that kitchen, if I did this, that will bless her. And I'm just now getting it. Pray for a brother. I'm a little slow learner. So that was something that I'm glad that you brought up.
I want to speak to ladies in particular. I'm going to say this gently. Like a velvet hammer. But you know what? We have to be careful. Ladies, we all go through our time.
Oh, I know where you're
going.
You
don't speak on it.
And I won't. I won't touch it.
You don't touch it. We all go through our time of the month for you younger ladies. We go through the perimenopause for those middle-aged ladies. We go through menopause. But we can't use that time as an excuse for our behavior, ladies. That is not how any of this goes.
Amen.
That's not how any of this goes. Here's the thing. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. He dwells in us. And he has given us self-control. We have self-control. There were times when maybe I'd have my time of the month. Nobody in the house would ever know it. They wouldn't know it because I wasn't acting like all erratic and crazy. There's times when I, went through the menopause and perimenopause. And that's just the Lord. There's nothing I did in particular. But you know what? The Holy Spirit dwells in us. And we get to have self-control. You know what? And I understand all the craziness that goes with that. The loss of hair, the weight shifting, and the skin itchy, and frozen shoulders and knees and toes and
yikes.
Everything.
And y'all tearing it up.
Torn. Estrogen is powerful.
Yeah.
Woo. It's powerful. And lack of it just does some crazy things. I get it. And so if you have to use some medical intervention, then you use that. You utilize it. That's what it's there for. Utilize it. And whether or not you choose to go the natural route or whatever, the point is that we don't get to use that season in our life as an excuse for our behavior. And so what we get to do is say, oh, honey, I'm so sorry that I acted like that yesterday. Now, I may act like that tomorrow, the next day, but, the time when it's like you don't want them to touch you because their hands are hot, because we're too hot or we're too cold, and so our leg is out of the blanket.
Fanning all over the place. Fan, got the little electric fan, just blowing on you. It's 90 below zero,
whatever.
But you got a fan.
Whatever.
Just hot.
Well, it's hot. But then it gets cold because I'm sweaty, and now I'm cold.
Oh, yeah. And
then I want to cuddle.
So the thermostat, just up and down,
Over. All over the place.
Yikes, what's happening here?
Just go with it and be sensitive to us.
Yeah, well, we have to. We can't help
it. Be sensitive to us. But you know what? The women, we have to be able to say I'm sorry to our husbands when we go through those times in our lives.
And so, let me say this, talking to the men.
Yeah.
Men, you get to our age and above, and we're not worth two red nickels rubbed together anymore. Testosterone is gone. We just not worth a nickel. We got our own thing. You know, the women got their perimenopause and menopause. From 30 on up, our testosterone it takes a dip. You know, and nature plays a cruel game. we're going south for the winter, and women are going up like this. And it's like, okay, where was this woman when I was in my 20s and 30s? Where is this? So, know, so we got to do what we can to try to. So, ladies, let me just say, ladies, for those who are my age and older, I'm not ashamed to say it anymore. In a couple of weeks, I hit 60. Mm-hmm. So I'm not afraid to say that. But so for our age and older, you know, let me just say for all of us men that's my age and older, we're sorry. I tell my wife all the time, I say, honey, I'm sorry I got old, you know.
And so
we got to do what we can, you know, do what we can while we can. And we got to, you know, watch the weight. And, you know, we got to do what we can. But we get, the couples go through things. Mm-hmm. They go through things. And you got
to. And then expect you to still do ministry.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. You got to do ministry through all that. And, you know, you got perimenopause, menopause lady at the house. And you got no testosterone man in the house. And then we got to come out and do ministry
and bless
together.
The people.
It's crazy.
Yes. Yeah.
It's nuts. Yeah. It's just nuts. But nature plays a cruel game on us. Yes.
Listen, let's share some takeaways. We don't have that much time left.
Oh, that's right. We got five minutes.
What are some takeaways? That's on you, Ann.
Okay. You
don't even have your phone, do you?
Yeah, I threw it down somewhere. but you know, some takeaaways is this, because I'm going to go God's will more detail tomorrow in my session. Mm-hmm. So we just having fun today. But, you know, some of the takeaways that we can have is that there are people in here at different stages of ministry and marriage. Mm-hmm. And we've been there. We've been there. So for those of you who are your younger couple still, you know, making babies type of thing, you know, make sure that you don't forget about that wife. You know, in 1 Peter 3:7, it says being heirs together of the grace of life. Heirs together. You don't want, as the pastor, you don't want to be discipling and raising up everybody and you leave your wife behind spiritually. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to do that. So, you know, definitely your younger couples, you know, continue to try to date each other. You got to get time away. Mm-hmm. You know, we still go places and go off together just to reconnect.
But wait a minute, even in the let's just say it's a lunch date, breakfast date, or whatever. Mm. But when we do that, what was one of the rules that I said? We don't talk about the children.
No.
And we don't talk about church. That time is just for us to connect.
Reconnect. Mm-hmm. We talking about church. No. And moms, those kids will be all right.
They'll be
whoever
okay.
they're with,
they will be
they'll
okay.
be all right.
They'll be okay.
Ladies,
be okay.
I wonder how Johnny's doing. Let me call the babysitter. Johnny is fine.
He's fine.
He's tearing that babysitter up just like he tears you up. So that'd be okay. He'll be okay when he gets home, when you get home. Mm-hmm. So, but you're right.
And another thing is that you can't forsake the intimacy with one another.
Yeah. And intimacy looks different in every stage of life and every stage of ministry. It looks different. Mm-hmm. It's just crazy. Just looks different.
It does.
You know, us men, we look in the mirror and we just like, who are you? Who have you become? You know, just know you're not the man you used to be. Mm-hmm. And so with that, intimacy would look different.
It does.
You know, for each couple. But
men, you can't forsake it because you need that connection with one another, whether it's just the kissing or the holding up. We have any little ones in here? I don't want to say anything, but holding hands or whatever. But you gotta have that intimate connection with one another.
Yeah.
So
don't lose your don't lose your marriage for the sake of ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And many people have. They just pour it all into, you know, especially as growing up, you'll pour everything into the church, senior pastor. Mm-hmm. And then she began to feel neglected and pour everything into the kids. And then after 20 years, you're like, who are you? And you're like, well, who are you?
Yeah.
And then if we don't know each other, why are we together? Okay, then that's bust up. Mm-hmm. And so I've seen where couples have busted up after 20, 30 years because they forgot to date and love each other through the ministry. Because our marriage, I'm going to say this. This is a sneak preview of Coming Attractions. Our marriage is supposed to be an example of Christ's love to the church. And so that's what our marriage is supposed to be. And so we need to evaluate our own hearts and our own marriages to see how we are reflecting Christ's love for the church to the world. So
let's pray.
Oh, see, we finished in 2 minutes. We had 2 minutes left over, so we don't have time for any questions. Sorry.
See us later.
Yeah, see us later. All right, let's close in prayer. Lord, we do thank you so much for all the marriages that are represented here. Lord, they're at different stages of ministry. And Lord, we just pray, God, that for those who are struggling, going through a tough time, trying to balance marriage and balance ministry. Lord, we just pray that you would give them the wisdom to know when to pull back and when to pour more at home than they do at the church. And so, Lord, we just pray your blessings upon us all here. Help us, Lord, to reflect you and your love for the church. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me just say this one last thing. You spend time with your family so your church can have an example to look to as a godly family. You spend time with the church so your family can have a godly church to attend. That's the balance. Don't be taking all these calls and stuff at home when you're supposed to be having family time. Whatever problem they have, it'll still be there tomorrow. It'll still be there. You spend time with your family. Love on your family. And be there for them. And then when you're with the church, my family knows. I said, when I come go through these doors, I belong to the church. And so I'm going to be butterfly all around. And I get y'all at the house. But at the church, when I'm at the church, I'm at the church. And so I can train and build them up to be children of God so my family can have a godly church to attend. Mm-hmm. God bless you. Yes, God.